Hello, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you on Thursday, January 25th, 2007. It is now 7:34 a.m. Central Time in the good old USA. During our broadcast, you may reach us via AIM phone at 903-551-2186. If you are listening via our Blog Talk Radio website, simply dial the number on your screen. At any time during our broadcast, you may send us email to comments@libertytalkradio.com. We'd love to hear from you and try to answer your questions during our next broadcast. Folks, this station is your antidote to popular talk radio, where you are expected to do more than just listen. You are expected to think. Although we broadcast from the United States, libertarian principles of individual freedom and responsibility are universal and apply to your area of residence, be it New York, Bangkok, Berlin, Rome, Paris, or Stalingrad. We must take control of our government now, before this bureaucratic, oversized, self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. It's time to shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to us will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. And now, on to our program. Well, good morning, everyone. There are a couple of things I'd like to do this morning. First, I want to make sure everything is set up properly, which it was not before. Now, this is actually a rebroadcast this morning because things were not set up properly. And I'd like to answer an email first from a gentleman, from a friend of mine. He's become a friend because he writes me a lot of email. His name is Alex. And Alex writes a very interesting email. He wants to know, he says, what's my view of administrative law that supersedes statutory and constitutional law? And then he goes on, he wants examples, if I can cite an example of a libertarian society of sorts, anywhere, even a subculture or whatever. Well, first let me tackle administrative law. Now, for those folks who are unfamiliar with that, administrative law, all really that means is that when you are charged with a crime by an administration, for example, the FDA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, Department of Energy, whoever it may be, these administrations, these organizations have taken on power to convict, basically. And you can be convicted and even convicted criminally. You can be placed in jail. You can be fined. And you don't have your day in court. In fact, when Howard Stern was being fined when he was on the regular network television because of the type of language he would use, he was just, you know, he'd avoid the worse words, but, you know, so he was just considered vulgar. So people wanted him off the air. And he said, fine, he says, give me my day in court. Well, he never got his day in court because we weren't talking about constitutional law. We were talking about administrative or jurisdictional law. And let me give you a very plain example. We have the right to bear arms. You go to California and you're not doing anything wrong, but you are it's uncovered that you are wearing a you are carrying a concealed carry a gun. You're thrown into court and said, and the first thing the judge will tell you is that don't give me this Second Amendment constitutional crap. The first thing he'll tell you, this is jurisdictional law, and in this jurisdiction, you are not permitted to wear guns. How do you plead? Well, you don't have a party of your peers. The Constitution can't protect you, and you'll get fined or thrown in jail. In other words, people say, well, here's the Constitution, but not so fast. In this area, it's not going to apply. Now, Congress has granted organizations and jurisdictions this power. And I don't know why we should be happy without Congress. They basically said, well, when the mood fits us, we'll set something up so there'll be an administrative law, and under administrative law, they can exercise their rights to convict without any of the rights and protections provided us by the Constitution, because it's not common law, it's administrative law. Alex, I agree with you. I mean, that is probably one of the worst abuses of our freedom, our rights and our liberties, come from administrative or statutory law or jurisdictional law. I never looked at it that way until I started doing research in it. And, you know, it's the big problem that I have with this program is that when people ask me questions, and sometimes I know the answer, sometimes I don't, and I have to do some research, whatever I uncover gets me sick. I mean, it gets me upset, because I find that we don't have rights. We don't have our freedom. We don't have our liberty. Everybody else has it for us. We have to be good boys and girls, and we have to obey, not the law, not common law. We have to obey all the rules and regulations and all the provisions of the statutory provisions and whatever, or else not only could we get fined and imprisoned, but without a jury of our peers. In other words, we never get a day in court. If the Occupational Safety and Health Administration goes to a company and says, hey, I don't like the way you're doing that, these guys get fined. They don't pay the fine, they get thrown in jail. They close down the factory. There's absolutely no trial. And most things are done under administrative or jurisdictional law. Scary, isn't it? Well, that's exactly where this country is going. And that's why we really should be concerned, and we should take measures to protect ourselves. Okay? Now, Alex asked, if I can give an example, any sort of historical precedent for any sort of libertarian society. And Alex, I have one. It's an easy one. This one's an easy one. And that happens to be the United States prior to Woodrow Wilson, prior to World War I. And it was a pretty libertarian place to be in. And that's what we want back. Now, as far as growth was concerned, as far as the economy is concerned, we never surpassed those times. Probably never will. Too much regulation in our way. Okay. And now, the subject of this broadcast is Principles of Platitude. And the reason why I mention that is because we're going to hear lots of presidential hopefuls giving their speeches, telling us all the things that they're going to do. Someone sent this to me to analyze, and I appreciate that. It was a speech that Barack Obama gave at Louisville, Kentucky. And it was broken into two parts. He had one part, he says, I've had enough, was the first part. And he says, and, you know, we know who we are, and this is what we believe in. Well, let me just take a couple of things of what he said, I had enough of. All right? I had enough tax cuts for the rich. Well, Mr. Obama, the rich pay a majority of the taxes. If you're going to give a tax cut, to whom would you give it to? Since the poor don't pay taxes. Now, I understand his point is that the rich have to be penalized, but penalized more. Now, I disagree with that. I think we should penalize the poor. I think we should tax the poor and not tax the rich. Aha, I know everyone out there saying, oh, you no good, you lousy person, I'm not going to listen to you again. Now, I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek. Listen to me. Listen carefully to my logic, at least. It's a lot better than good old Barack says. Let's take NASCAR. You know, the car races. Well, who gets to go up front? Who gets the front line? The slowest car or the fastest car? The fastest car. They earned it. They earned it. They go up front. They get preferred position. Now, what if in NASCAR, the person who had the fastest car started out last? What incentive would there be to have the fastest car? None. You've just disincentive the whole thing. Disincentived. I don't think there's such a word, but you understand what I mean. I sound like President Bush, and I make up words as I go along. But that's interesting. So the same thing with economy. If you really look at it from a practical point of view, you just say, hey, we're going to tax the hell out of you. If you don't want to be taxed, you better find a way. You better find a way to create wealth, to make money, create wealth, and get out of this fix that you're in. Because the more money you make, the less money taxes you're going to pay. I mean, I'm talking tongue-in-cheek here. But that makes a lot more sense than saying, well, if you don't make much, you don't have to pay any taxes. But if you do start making money, watch out, because we're going to take a lot of it away from you. And that makes no sense. Obama, you make absolutely no sense. Now, I think that the taxes should be straight right across the board. Let me be serious with you for a moment. Right across the board. In other words, if the tax rate is going to be a flat 15%, it's 15% for everyone. Whether you make $5,000 a year or you make $5 million a year, it's going to be a straight 15%. And why? Well, if you're paying 15% now, what is the disincentive to make more? None, because you're still going to pay 15%. But I can tell you, in my case, I've had years where I've just hemorrhaged to death in business, where business was so bad, we had to take all of our resources to keep the place open. But then I've had, and by the way, I got nothing from the government for that. But then I've had years where I did very well. And those years I did well, the better I did, the more I was penalized. Now, does that make any sense? That should make absolutely no sense at all to you. Absolutely no sense. Because it doesn't make any sense. This is a free country, and we are people of initiative. We are people with dreams. And dreams is what sees us through every single day. Every one of us has a dream. Some of us have a dream to, you know, to become an astronaut. Some people want to, you know, learn to surfboard. They got dreams to do something. And all the government does is throw cold water. They throw a cold rag, a tall cold towel, rather, on our dreams. And of course, it's not a tax cuts for the rich is not a financial issue. It's a political issue. He wants to make political hay over that. Well, you're wrong, Obama. And I'd love to debate you on that personally. He says service cuts to the poor. Well, I don't understand what he means by that. But first of all, we've become a welfare state and we provide practically everything. I want to give you an example. A very nice girl worked for my wife many years ago as a receptionist. And she was married to a pretty sharp guy. Guy was a computer guy. He had his own little company. And she came in one day and she says, I'm divorcing my husband. I'm getting rid of that bum. I guess they had problems. And I'm not saying that she was right or wrong in that regard. I'm just saying that, you know, she was. And right after that, and she rattled off all the government programs. Oh, they had one child. She just had a child. All the government programs that she could apply for once she got her divorce. And that really struck with me, because she was a nice gal. And she was a good worker. But the mentality was, well, screw it, I'll leave them, you know. And then I'll go for title this, title. And she had all the title numbers, all the numbers down. And she did. She divorced them. And she got housing, and she got food stamps, and she got, you name it, she got it. Now, is that what we want to do? Do we want to increase that? I don't think so. Now, I'm not saying that we should restrict, in the event of an emergency, you know, some medical care or something like that that's life-threatening. No, but that's already provided for. We have clinics, and we have doctors that will do it for free. I know we speak very poorly of doctors, but they're not all poor. They're not all terrible people. They really are good people. They're good and bad and everything. But we don't need more government money. And by the way, those people, you know, services that we're providing to the poor, why are they poor? Now, some people are poor through unfortunate circumstances. A lot of them is because they elect to be poor. And if you elect to be poor, don't come to me to bail you out. I've tried to hire you people several times. You don't want to work. Some do and some don't. So those that do want to work, give them the incentive. Give them the incentive to get out of their financial hole and work their way up. But then when they finally do make it, and it'll be blood, sweat, and tears to get there, don't take the money away from them because now they're making more than other people. Don't make it a disincentive. I think, Barack, you're wrong. He goes on to say, no action, do nothing towards the health care crisis in this country. Oh, come on. We have a health care crisis here only because we have a quasi-socialistic health care system that is bogged down in administration and everything. If you just get the government out of it and just got rid of all the stupid paperwork, our health care would be a fraction of what it is today. All right? We don't need the government. Every time the government gets involved, we get more restricted health care. We get higher prices. It has happened every time. Look at it statistically. He talks about the No Child. He says he's had enough of the No Child Left Behind Act that leaves money behind. Well, that's a stupid program to start off with. I don't have time to go through it here, but that's a stupid program and has done absolutely nothing to. But it has given the incentive of schools to find ways around it so that they don't lose their funding and the children don't get helped out and schools get hampered. He talks about talking tough and not being able to capture Osama bin Laden. Talking tough, you know, hey guy, wake up. We've already lost over 3,000 guys in this stupid occupation of Afghanistan and Iraq. I mean, isn't that enough for you? And there's got to be something like 40 or 50,000 that came home maimed. That's not tough enough for you? And we've bombed the hell out of two countries. That's not tough enough for you? Come on, get real. Let's get out. Let's send our boys home. And let's start healing all the wounds of war. Right. Then he goes on to say, these are what we believe in. We believe in an opportunity for, exact words, everyone should have an opportunity to have a job that pays a living wage. No, no, and no, and not necessarily in that order. Absolutely not. Obama, try to hire someone. Hire someone and then just give them a job. They say they really want to work. Give them the job requirements and then see if the job gets done. In some cases, it will. In a lot of cases, it won't get done because people don't want to work. That's a big problem today. People don't want to work. So no, there shouldn't be a problem, a job for everyone. That means people will have jobs, not do anything, and the taxpayers will work for it. People better earn their jobs. He goes on to say, everyone should have access to decent health care. Actually, we do. We have clinics, and it'll be free. And then every school, this is a beauty, he said, every school should be adequately funded. Every child should be able to learn. Well, first of all, we have government schools, and if you have government schools, they'll never be adequately funded. They'll always be screwed up, and they'll always be a bureaucracy taking most of the money, and most of the money comes from education, not to education. So look within yourself. You know, education has met the enemy, and it is them. And every child should be able to learn. What kind of dumb statement is that? Every child should be able to learn. Of course they should be able to learn. A lot of them don't want to learn. And what is the teacher going to do about that? That's not a purview of the school system. If they don't want to learn, they got to go someplace else. And if they have no education, tough, they have no education. No education, no job. No incentive, they starve to death. But don't pay them not to work and not to learn. And then he goes on to say, and to go to college, even if they don't have a lot of money. No, no, and no, not everyone goes to college. And if you're too poor to go to college, you better find another way to make an earning, a living. You don't have to go to college to make a living. Not unless you want to be a scientist or you want to be a physicist or a mathematician, but or a doctor or a lawyer. But other than that, and if you really want to go to college, you can work during the day and then go to a community college at night and start earning your degree, and take it a little bit of time. Is life equal? No. Is life fair? No. Some people have to work harder than others. Some people were born to extremely rich families. They have millions and millions of dollars. Kids go on drugs and die young. Fair? No. Dumb? Yes. So don't tell me that everyone has got to go to college. No. Now, is college expensive? Hell, it's hellaciously expensive. But you better find a way around it. It's your life, not the government's life, and it's not my life for you. Every senior citizen, he goes on to say, should retire with dignity and respect. No. I know so many people who have no right to retire with dignity and respect. And I know them. You know why? Because they're lazy bums. They don't want to work. They don't want to do anything. And they're just waiting for Social Security so they can sit home and watch more ball games and drink more beer. Now, is that dignity? No, absolutely not. Now, I don't know what percent of the population should be retiring with dignity and respect. I have no idea. A good portion, but not everyone. If I've been a drug dealer all my life, do I deserve to retire with dignity and respect? No. Why don't we say that? Why do we make these stupid platitudes? You know, that make it sound so good and everyone's cheering and all this. If I was there, I would have been booing the heck out of him. It's politicians like that, and they're all going to say the same thing. They're going to package it a little differently. They're all going to say the same thing because it sounds good. I mean, who's going to argue everyone should retire with dignity and respect? Who's going to argue with that? No one's going to argue with that, except for me and maybe a few other people, and they'll rant about it, but it's wrong. Again, the answer is no. He closed by saying, I believe we are the party of FDR, the party of Jefferson, the party of Kennedy. Now, I got to be honest with you. If you're the party of FDR, you ain't the party of Jefferson. Now, you could say you're the party of Jefferson, the party of JFK. Because JFK was pretty close to being a libertarian. I mean, he even wanted to get rid of the Federal Reserve. And they didn't like that, and I think someone did away with him, if you recall. I mean, this guy said, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can, you know, what you can do for your country. And he was right. When we say country, he doesn't mean, you know, welfare. He meant get off your butt and do something. You can create worth. You're the one with the initiative, the talent, the imagination. Use it. Don't ask the government to do it for you. He is a lot closer to Kennedy. JFK, FDR, absolutely not. An absolute socialist, an absolute dictator, you know. And now it's been uncovered. You'd never hear that. I'm surprised he brought FDR up, because now it's been documented that he motivated Japan to attack Pearl Harbor, and he wanted Pearl Harbor to be attacked, and he set it up so we would lose exactly what we lost, so there would be no question about us going into the war, although the people didn't want to go. That puts him in the category of high treason. If you want to put Jefferson in the same category of high treason, you've got a problem. You got a problem with your history. So, folks, my point being, platitudes don't mean anything. Be very careful. When you listen to these people, if it sounds good, think through it. If you can't, call me, write me, say, I heard so-and-so say this. What's your opinion? And I'll just give you my opinion. You can take it or leave it. Or ask someone else. But really, if it sounds good, it usually runs very, very bad, which means it's going to restrict your liberty, your rights, and your freedom. Beware. Okay, well, this is about a half hour. Let's say, oh, no, we're not. We've got 24 minutes in our program. I'd like to mention that on Sunday evening, we may have a guest. That'll be Sunday at 8:30. I do not have that confirmed yet. And I can't tell you what our subject is going to be, because I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm going to see if I can meet with him tomorrow. And that will be Sunday evening at 8:30 p.m. And then we will broadcast on regular schedule Thursday at 6:30 a.m. Today we broadcast it at 9:30 a.m. because I was unavailable this morning, and I hope to avoid that in the future as much as I can. I like to keep it very, very consistent so people can call in. Now, no one's calling in now because actually I was not scheduled to to broadcast live this morning. Anyway, with that, I'm going to play our bumper song and ask you to send in your comments and questions to comments at libertytalkradio.com. I'd love to hear from you, okay? And let me play our song again. That song is called "And I Wonder." This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Branch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends. And remember, let us hear from you. Our email address is comments at libertytalkradio.com. Remember, folks, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away from you, or you are striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Until next time, stay well, stay tuned.